Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mike in hand. Setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome everybody to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. I am Sin City Steve, and being joined tonight on President's Day by President Donald Trump. Welcome to the show.
You know, you only have me for my 2 cents at the end. And I said, you know what, it's President's Day. We need to broadcast in full effect. Full effect. Donald Trump going to be here all night.
All night long. All right. So let's just jump right in and let's talk about some of the shows from this past week. And we'll start with AEW Dynamite, which was a star-studded show from Ontario, California. The main event of this show was the title change, if you will, as Chris Statlander loses the Women's World Championship to Tekla in a strap match. And Tekla is your new AEW Women's World Champion. And Mr. President, what say you about the Toxic Spider?
You know, I like Tekla. She is hardcore. And quite honestly, Chris Statlander was forgettable. This was a forgettable title reign. They didn't know if she was from Long Island or if she was an alien. They didn't know what to do with her.
So true. So true. And, you know, also elsewhere on the show, there was another title change that happened. And this one had almost the exact opposite of the reaction from the IWC. The internet wrestling community was up in arms because Tommaso Ciampa, 2 weeks after winning the TNT Championship, loses it to Kyle Fletcher in what some are saying is an early match of the year contender. It's great to see Tommaso Ciampa doing what he does best and being appreciated in that ring.
Tommaso Ciampa lost because Kyle Fletcher was on his way to Grand Slam Australia, and you need to have the Aussie boy with gold on his waist. It was a really piss-poor setup, but he will get it back. He will get the belt back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And elsewhere, we had the Young Bucks advancing to become the number one contender for the tag team championships. And this has got to be, what, the 53rd installment of the Young Bucks versus FTR. But you know what? They bring it every single time. And this match was exactly what you would expect. It was a, let's just say it was a party match. Because you had the Rascals, so they were bringing their party favors. You had the Young Bucks, they were bringing their super kick party, and a mystery team in that match ended up being none other than a Private Party making their return to AEW after Private being gone for 13 months. Yes, Mr. President, Private Parts.
I get in a lot of trouble for dealing with my private parts.
I could imagine.
It's always a party. It's always a party.
I guess so. And you know, elsewhere on the show, we did see the tensions kind of escalate between Swerve and Omega. They are going at it this coming Wednesday on Dynamite. And we'll see what happens there. Elsewhere, we finally had Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong split, presumably, as Roddy jumped off the apron, walked away, and made it well known that he did not want anything to do with the tag team with Orange Cassidy. as they lose to Daniel Garcia and the debuting Clark Connors, formerly of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So we'll see when Clark Connors gets the graphic, but you got to assume he's about to be All Elite.
This isn't anything new. Roderick Strong is part of the conglomerate. He's part of the Pentaverate or the Pentagrams. What is that tag team that he's in?
The Paragon.
That's what they call me. They call me a paragon of leadership. And Roderick Strong is without a tag team. Okay. Adam Cole Bebe is not making any signs that he's going to return. So there really isn't a paragon. And there's nothing else for Roderick Strong to do. So he might as well be a heel.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But that was all setting up for arguably the best show that AEW's put on this calendar year. And that is AEW Grand Slam Australia. Certainly, top to bottom, this show got a lot of acclaim online. Your opening match was, now, obviously, when I say this, people are going to assume that I'm shit-canning it, but I'm not. The opening contest between Jon Moxley and Takeshita went to a 20-minute time limit draw. So the crowd, they were kind of upset about it a little bit. And it's very plain and as day. You can see Moxley get the referee and tell him to relay the message to Takeshita to get up and hit his finish so that the crowd went home happy. Again, Takeshita will be a white hot babyface when they make the switch. Absolutely.
When you say white hot, is it mean he's taking white hot loads? What is white hot babies? I got to be careful.
You do have to be careful, Mr. President. Speaking of being careful, we did see a debut shortly thereafter as the Babes of Wrath did retain their AEW Women's World Tag Team Championships over Mega Bad. But Chris Statlander decided to come out there. And then to even up the odds, Australia's own Lena Cross made her debut coming to the side of Mega Bad. And she's a big lady. She is taller and has more stature, if you will, than Megan Bain. And that's saying something. So a formidable addition to this squad.
Why does Megan Bain have the face of a 50-year-old smoker and the voice of a 12-year-old?
You know,
what
Mr.
the
President,
fuck is that? I don't know. The other one looks like something out of Avatar with the pink hair. What is her name? Korra?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, doesn't really matter what her name is, though.
Honestly, no, because nobody gives a damn about a woman with the face of a 50-year-old smoker and the voice of a 12-year-old.
Holy shit. The next night, though, that wasn't the only addition to AEW, as the next night on AEW's House Rules, yes, a house show, a non-televised event, albeit in Australia, there was the debut of The Inspiration. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Former so not in TNA
WWE
anymore.
And TNA Women's Tag Team Champions are now in AEW. And instantly, you got to figure that they will be, a shot in the arm, if you will, to that women's tag team division.
So that's Cassie Lee. And what is the other one? Exactly.
Jessica McKay, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, something.
Isn't one of them dating the chairman, Sean Spears?
Yes.
I think it's Cassie Lee.
Yep.
Sean, don't fuck this up like you fucked up your AEW run and your NXT run and your SmackDown run. You better run that Australian through and her friend. You better bank Cassie so hard that Jessica feels it. Because if you don't, I will. For Australia.
For Australia. Well done. Well played. All right, so let's pivot here, and yeah, someone got their head shaved, and it was Wheeler fucking Yuta. As
this should
Wheeler
be match of the century.
Tony Storm gets the pinfall victory over Wheeler Yuta. And after the match, Wheeler Yuta decides, no, I'm not going to honor the stipulation of this match. And he bails out. But Daddy Moxley stops him, tells him, no, this is bullshit. You're going to get your ass in the ring. And literally stands there. He and Marina stand there while the Babes of Wrath and Luther all take turns shaving Wheeler Yuta's head. Moxley looks disappointed. And yeah, if you'll notice, Mina Shirakawa even got in on the action as this past Wednesday, there was an angle where Wheeler Yuta cut some of Mina's hair. So it all works itself out.
First of all, Tony Storm ate a tombstone from Wheeler Yuta, and she finishes him off, well, with the pile driver. With the pile driver. Not the tombstone, but the pile driver. They swapped pile drivers, and she got a face full of his pile driver, and he returned the favor. He ate the hot pin. It was a hot pin. It was a truly hot pin from her. They put her over. She is the Australian in Grand Slam Australia. She's the one doling out the pins. And I don't really think this is much of a loss because he came in to the Death Riders. He came into the Blackpool Combat Club bald to begin with. This is really not, you're not going to shave her head. You're not going to shave Orange Cassidy's head. Now the guy looks like Brody Lee over here on the bottom right. He's got thinned out in the beard. Look, it's Brody Lee.
Wow.
Look at that. That's Brody Lee in the bottom right. Now he just needs a Disciples. And it could be another washed up function.
R.I.P. Brody Lee.
All right. All right. Continue.
Yeah.
I know. I'm tired of looking at bald Asians.
Elsewhere, we had us a ladder match, and Kyle Fletcher, the proto star, defeats Mark Briscoe in their seventh match, gaining the permanent advantage. As they said, this was it. They are done. They will not wrestle one another again. So, as was expected, Kyle Fletcher retains the TNT Championship after defeating Mark Briscoe. Oh my God, dude. In this match, there was a little bit of everything. They had Briscoe hit Fletcher with a J-driller on the ladder bridge. There was a brain buster.
Based on the way Kyle Fletcher is dressed with flowers and pink all the time, I think he likes taking J-drillers where the sun don't shine. This guy, is he part of the LGBTQ community? Look at how he's come out here. He's got on flowers and earrings and pink little frilly costumes. Maybe he's really taking the screwdrivers from the back from Don Callis, you know, because this is strange what you have to do to get gold in the Don Callis family.
Well, Mr. President, I think so. I know that he is with an item with Sky Blue. So I don't know if they.
That's for show. You know, okay. Look, hey, excuse me. Rock Hudson was not all man off the camera. He was a homosexual. And this guy dresses like a really big one. Like this is homosexuality like never before seen. Okay. Sky Blue is on that tag team, the Lesbians. Okay. But think about it. The triangle of madness, okay? Those are lesbians, okay? With Tekla in the lead scissoring position, okay? This guy is asking off camera to scissor me, daddy ass. Believe it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But you know what? Even if he does choose to do that, you know, it's his life.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Let him live his life, bro. I totally
all I
get
said
that
to you, Mr. Fletcher, is you have a lot of preparation in your future.
Absolutely. And you know, Kyle Fletcher is becoming synonymous with the TNT Championship. So it's only fitting that at that House Rules house show, he was presented with a brand new custom TNT Championship. It's almost like as if they knew this was going to happen. Huh? Strange. Anyway, the rest of that Grand Slam show, you had Hangman Adam Page defeating Andrade El Idolo, and thus setting up the match that they've been kind of planting the seeds for quite some time. And these guys have gone at it before. MJF versus Hangman Adam Page at Revolution, because MJF did defeat Brody King. And there we go. MJF retained the AEW World Championship over Brody King. After the match, Hangman Adam Page came out and the two squared off, thus setting up that match. But before that, and Mr. President, this may be very poignant. I'd like to get your feedback on this. HBO's Last Week Tonight with John Oliver joked about ICE paying to air ads alongside fans chanting "fuck ICE" on AEW TV.
You know, we have agitators, and these agitators are coming to shows which are run by Warner Brothers Discovery. And I want Warner Brothers executives that if you want to maintain your Warner Brothers Discovery Disney Max deal, or whatever, I don't even know who the fuck everyone's merged, then you're going to have to take care of this, okay? And for Mr. Tony Khan, you know, maybe you're Tony Khan or maybe you're Tony Hernandez, you know? Think about that. Your last name, Hernandez. And you get that Bad Bunny deal, you'll have to walk around with gigantic tuxedos on to hide your bulletproof vests, because we're going to make it very uncomfortable for you if you don't take care of this shit.
Yeah. Some poignant words. And obviously, thus setting the stage for AEW Revolution. AEW is taking to the streets. They're having street team members in the Los Angeles area. Street art.
Excuse me. Fake news. They're going to be setting up a ring behind the Slurpee machine and the hot dog rollers. That's the only place Tony Khan is going to be able to put on a show if they don't stop the fuck ice chants.
There we go. And speaking of pay-per-views, as we segue to start talking about the other promotion, WWE. Yeah, Allegiant Stadium announced this week a 25% discount on WrestleMania tickets. So in case you're keeping score, instead of paying $2,000 for a floor seat, now you can spend $1,500.
First of all, your math isn't mathing. I thought you were smarter than that. Floor seats are $25,000. Ask the old host DJ Impact. His ass has been impacted so many times, he's still paying off last year's tickets. He's got more communicable diseases than all of the women on East Fremont.
Shit. Oh, shit.
Foster's is a terrible beer. It's a shitty beer. It's a disgusting beer. It's not an American beer. It tastes like warm piss, and that's the way they like to drink it down there. They drink their beer. It's like warm piss.
Here you have it.
Foster's Australian for piss.
The Bionic Scoop chimes in and says, it was Australia. What's Trump going to do? Tara Foster's, by the way, Scoop, welcome. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. As always, we appreciate you, sir. And let us go ahead.
Remember what Australia was, Steve? Back in the day, people forget about this. In England, they took all of the people they didn't want and they sent them to Australia, because England already, they don't need ICE anymore. Now they got a Muslim problem. So they need to take all their Muslims and they need to send them over to Australia. Okay. That's what they do. That's what they did. Okay. Australia wouldn't exist. It'd be a bunch of people around, you know, drinking Fosters and doing weird chants. What do they do? They got the face tattoos there. The Rock, that's where The Rock is from. Australia and the Usos. So they're all from Australia and they all do their tribal chants and their little war stomps. They'd be running around wearing shark tooth necklaces, okay, and wearing loincloths if it wasn't for England say even the England's worst was good enough. They made Australia almost a real country, some would say.
Almost a real country. Speaking of almost a real country, let's talk about almost a wrestling show. Let's talk about SmackDown this week. Mr. President, I would love to get your input on what you saw this week on SmackDown.
We have the downfall of luchadors. Rey Fénix, he's there. He's being used like toilet paper, okay? They use him to clean the asses of the real wrestlers. So very sad. The same thing. You have the quiet madness, Julia. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about Julia or Zelina Vega, who, by the way, she married the whitest guy possible. He's so white, he's transparent. That's how white she married to stay here. And then we see, look at this. Look at Charlotte Flair looking like a two-piece with a side of fries. Look at that. And her titties look like a box of Russell Stovers. My God, that's not bad. That's not bad. That's pretty good. That was a good match. Lots of scissoring. It was the lockups were amazing. So many wonderful lockups. Then we have Sami Zayn and, oh, not Zilla Fatu. He's on the other show, Wrestling MJF. Jacob Fatu. Zilla is the only one with a normal haircut.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Excuse me. To Zilla Fatu, grow our dreadlocks. You'll be a WWE American champion tomorrow. Cody Rhodes winning, I'm assuming, because I didn't watch. I fast-forwarded through it.
You would be correct, sir. Imagine that of all people to win that match.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. Fast forwarded through it because I wanted to watch Jade Cargill and very little. Oh, look at that. That's my chocolate milk right there. That's my Bosco. That's my cup of Bosco right there. Look at that. That's 100% all beef American. And she beat little Jordynne Grace, but Jordynne Grace lifted her up. Jordynne Grace flipped her around like she was Lex Luthor, put her in the rack a couple of times, flipped her around. A lot of damage to the left arm. Jordynne Grace still was licking her fingers like it was a 10-piece at the end. Got her in the 1-2-3, and it was a clean match. She finished on Jordynne Grace's face clean. Okay, that's how we like it. We like a clean finish. And then they scissored afterwards. It was so much humping. The Humpty Dance was your chance to do the hump. Hump, join Humper. Do the Humpty Hump. Do the Humpty Hump. It was a good match. And then she went over to Liv Morgan and spit in her face and called her a puta. Or I don't know what they said. She said something. I don't know where she's from. It doesn't really matter. She's hot. Jade exactly. Cargill. Jade and her little Cargills.
Absolutely. And then, you know, despite what the internet would want to believe, there was one other match on this show. Mr. President, did you happen to see that one at all?
The four women got in the ring. Yep. And they fought and they fought and they fought until there was a disqualification. It was so stupid. Look at that. First of all.
No contester.
Wait a minute. So they had this sloppy spot.
Yep.
Where Io Sky does a suicide dive through the ropes and kind of catches the table on Nia Jax. By the way, I thought Nia Jax was Hawaiian or West Australian. Why does she have the five head? Can't they sew some hair into her skull? I thought that's only the black chicks that get the weave. Jeez. I thought only the black chicks got the weave. What is she? I didn't know she was part biscuit.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying, I didn't know she was part KFC. Okay, I mean, I thought she was like an islander. I didn't know she was chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles is delicious.
chicken and waffles. Better vote for me, or Vice is going to be visiting a chicken and waffles near you.
All right, Mr. President, let's pivot and talk about tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. Did you happen to see what went down tonight on Netflix?
They finally bring out LA Knight. Mm-hmm. And LA Knight comes out to a very mushmouth promo against Division. Yeah. LA Knight needs to work on his promo. He's got the catchphrases. LA, you've got the catchphrases, Mr. Ricker, but few stumbles. If I were to rate you on your triple Lutz, you would get a 6.5. Very fair 6.5, by the way. And then you've got the Usos fighting Division. And now I'm looking at Division going, who's the strong guy? Who's the strong guy in Division now? There's no strong guy in Division. It's not Austin Theory. Austin Theory's a little nerdy kid who wants in on the crew. Okay, it's not Bronson Reed. He's the fat guy. It's not Logan Paul. He's a prissy guy. He's a little girly selling Pokemon cards for $16 million.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. You want the guy selling Pokemon cards to be your world heavyweight champion. And he comes out and he fights LA Knight and the Usos, who don't even get to finish their dance. That's how boring they've become. They did their little, it's just me, Us. Day one, it's just me, Us. And Jimmy Uso sitting there with his little, he's got 3 6-packs because he's been drinking that Foster's. Jimmy Uso comes out with the big wife beater that says 0-1. And he's got the gut and it is rolling over. He doesn't have washboard abs like I do. I should be the honorary Us. The honorary Us. I would make that tag team amazing again. They haven't done anything since they were doing Hawaiian tribal dances and dancing around the ring with shark teeth on. And I've been told by some people that their sister Nia Jax has some shark teeth in the vagina. Very scary woman. Very scary woman. Waffle House hairdo.
Hey, Mr. President, I heard that there was a mystery box that showed up on Raw. Is that right?
It's not going to be opened up until Elimination Chamber. So that means that it's going to be Chris Jericho, and they're going to pop the mystery box up against the Elimination Chamber. And then Chris Jericho will come out with his Geritol for his Geritol-holics. And he's going to get his 75-year-old hair-plugged ass into the ring, where he gets beat down by Javon Evans, who is also now in the Elimination Chamber, beating, yes, Dominic Mysterio and Gunther. Gunther is out of the ring. Dominic Mysterio misses with a frog splash, and Javon Evans gets him with the OG cutter for the hot 1-2-3.
There you go, man. Yeah, finally, Javon Evans.
I watched this show.
He gets a huge win, Mr. President. Arguably, this is the biggest win of Javon Evans' life.
Hunter, this one's to you, Paul. Look at this guy. He finally learned, if you're going to bring people up to the main roster, have him win a fucking match.
Absolutely. But that was not the only Elimination Chamber qualifier match on the show. Yeah. Tell us about that one.
Natty versus Asuka versus Bayley. And Natty, she's sitting there. She looks like she's constipated. It looks like she's got a hot load in the pants. No comment. And she gets also thrown out of the ring. And we're left with Asuka locks to Bayley and an Asuka lock to Natty. Natty got out of the Asuka lock with a back roll, forcing the reversal, putting Asuka in a pinning predicament and having her break the hold. But Bayley is not able to do that. The legs were wrapped around and Bayley had nowhere to go except to tap out and ate the mat and ate the muff, which she gladly ate. And I've been told by some great people that the carpet matches the Joshi curtains.
I won't ask how you know that, Mr. President, but I'll trust your sources.
I've been to a broad or two.
I would say so. All right. What else should we talk about with
AJ Lee?
Yeah.
Got on the stage and said she used to fight and the only belts back then were a purple glittered butterfly belt and she made it great and she misses it. I miss her butterfly. We used to put glitter on it before Fragile Phil got in there. We used to put glitter on her butterfly and I'd polish up her butterfly belt every Friday night when I laid the smack down in the Brooks household. And now she's got Becky Lynch eating out of the palm of her hands, goading her into punching her in the face. She sat there with her arms behind her back and said, hit me, over and over again. To which a very, very frazzled and shaky Becky Lynch responded by quoting all of the wonderful people who have been supporting her. Not only I'm saying that, but also Sports Illustrated and the Bleacher Reports. They're saying it too. She's the best of all time. And now AJ Lee is going to get to fight in Chicago and put her glitter all over Becky Lynch's butterfly lips.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's some imagery right there for you. That is some imagery for you right there.
And then we had I didn't get this one. Could you explain this to me? Liv Morgan came out with Dominic Mysterio to talk smack in an interview with Michael Cole. And Dominic Mysterio was looking. Remember Stedman? Remember when Oprah had Stedman and he sat there and he did nothing? Dominic Mysterio is sitting there with his two useless golden belts looking like Stedman. And then La Primavera comes out, Stephanie Vaquer, and talks to her in Spanish and says that she is wrestling for all the little niños that I haven't deported yet and all of the mujeres. Okay, they say that because those women look like cows. That's why they call them mujeres. And you said 10 years of hard work. You talk about hard work. What the fuck are you talking about, Liv? You haven't sacrificed anything. WWE has only handed you everything from the moment you started here. You have better medics, better trainers. You were handed everything. You want to talk about sacrifice? I was born in Chile. It's really hot in Chile, too. You get some of those guanchiles. Oh, my God. That's some. They were talking about Chile, where pro wrestling didn't even exist. I competed in Japan, Latin America, which is America with not American being spoken, and in Europe, socialist Europe, where I conquered everything. I should embarrass you for hiding behind the Judgment Day, for hiding behind him. I will tell you something. I went through hell and made it mine, only to go WWE. And this title's for all the girls and all the women who never had the opportunity. If you come after me, you will win because I will show you what a real, and then she didn't pronounce this right, campeon S. And then little Liv, who forgot that she was white and Italian, started to cry. You know, if I want Liv, I'll give you a presidential pardon. I really don't even need to. You haven't done anything wrong except date a Mexican. And we will have her deported back to little Habanero Chile, where she's from. And we'll just give you the belts because you deserve it. But she started to cry. She curled in a ball. And she spent the whole night crying. They forget. See, they don't. They're so mean. They have selective memories of all the times that she had to eat out Ruby Soho, little Ruby. What was her name? She had the hook nose.
Ruby Riott.
Ruby Riott. She had to clean out Ruby Riott's skid stains for 5 years. That's why her tongue turned blue from all of the times that she had to clean out the girls' scratches at the Riott Squad. And her tongue turned blue from all of the times that she had to clean out the crust from Ruby Riott's jockstrap. Because it was a man, baby. That's why they had to go to AEW and perform lots and lots of operations on her and make her into a real girl.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Pictures of her being pregnant with that greaser's kid, right? No, oh, never saw it. No baby bumps on her. Okay, that was a post-op. Believe it.
I'm not even going to discuss that.
She got more
that.
Than a rhinoplasty that absence.
All right. So, obviously, awards come in so many different times during the year.
Wrestler,
we've talked about
what is this bed, buddy? What the fuck is this?
We've talked about the PWI awards. We've talked about, you know, various promotions. And this week, the Wrestling Observer 2025 Awards came out. And as I'm looking over the number of ballots, if you will, responses, the number of responses this year was over 5,000. So a pretty large sample size of the pro wrestling world. And
to AAA and asked, who is your favorite wrestler at CMLL? And he said, oh, me gusta Místico. And just like a Místico, he's going to disappear in the mist of LA when he's deported back to Guadalajara.
Guadalajara, huh? Yeah, so Místico actually had more total votes than he doubled number two. Hangman Adam Page was actually number two in this awards voting, but Místico absolutely ran away with it this year.
And that's why we're looking at the ballots. We saw traces of sugarcane in the paper used for the voting, and we believe that these were illegal ballots. These were illegal ballots. We're looking into the Dominion fiasco because these were illegal ballots for Místico. And what we need to do is find about 5,001 votes. If you could just find 5,001 votes for Hangman Adam Page, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. So so obviously Místico at one, Adam Page at two, John Moxley was number three, and then this was pretty interesting. Saya Kamatani, who is obviously a Joshi pro wrestler, and the only woman in the top 10. So pretty interesting that Saya Kamatani places at number four on the Wrestling Observer 2025 awards. Elsewhere, rounding out the top 10, John Cena at five, Cody Rhodes at six, Takeshita at seven, CM Punk at eight, Bandido at nine, and Will Ospreay at 10.
Whatever happened to the little Japanese girl that beat the crap out of Kenny Omega? Where is she wrestling now?
That is a great question. That is a great question. I don't know what's become of that girl, but
call me up, make you a celebrity. I'll be your manager.
Oh, geez. I don't think that you need to be responding or asking for anyone to call you as of right now, Mr. President, at least until things kind of subside. Just saying.
What are you talking
Nonetheless,
about? The Dow Jones is over 50,000 right now.
It's
president of the hottest country in the world. Okay. America is the hottest country in the world. Find that little Japanese girl and we'll have her beat up Místico and Stephanie Vasquez.
Saya Kamatani, the women's MVP of the year, tag team of the year. This one was caught a a lot of flack online. The Young Bucks barely defeating FTR in the ballots. Young Bucks, FTR, Brody King, and Bandido are your top three. Of note, Nathan Frazier and Axiom at number seven. So they were represented. Some people would say not nearly high enough. Matt and Jeff Hardy even made the top 10 in the tag team division. But the Young Bucks and FTR, and then Brody King and Bandido, they kind of ran things quite a bit. So
the match of the year, Kenny Omega and Gabe Kidd, worst match of the year. Cody fucking Rhodes versus John Cena, where Cody Rhodes refused to hit John Cena with the title in Las Vegas. He was a little punk bitch, and he lost his belt, and I spent a lot of money to watch him lose.
Yeah, no shit.
Very sad. I spent a lot of money to watch him lose, and now you want me to go back? I live in Las Vegas, and I don't want to go back.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. So you had mentioned the Omega versus Kid match all the way back in January, winning match of the year. Of note, the Bandido versus Takeshita match from Ring of Honor's pay-per-view in July, that was number two. So, yeah, you've got some great ones there. And then Adam Page versus Jon Moxley, Mystico versus MJF, and then Adam Page versus Will Ospreay to round out the top five. Elsewhere, and, you know, let's focus a little bit on some of the not-so-savory awards, some things that some people just aren't exactly thrilled with, because obviously this generated quite a bit of buzz online. And O'Shea Jackson Jr., the son of Ice Cube, if you will, tweets out, "Ah, yes, the fuck you WWE, I hate you awards are in." To which Ricochet replies, "Didn't they win back-to-back years before this?" Which, yes, WWE was promotion of the year in 2023 and 2024. So for those people that are suddenly claiming that the Observer readers hate WWE, they hate bad wrestling. The last 2 years, WWE has been on fire. 2025 was not a banner year for WWE. As a result, the viewers and the subscribers of the Observer newsletter voted accordingly. So, again, worst promotion of the year, WWE. But promotion of the year was not even AEW. The promotion of the year was CMLL, which is unheard of. This was the first ever year in the history of the Observer Awards that CMLL has won promotion of the year. So that is definitely saying something there.
It's saying that we have a country in decline and that we need to have an alternative promotion. That's why we're going to have All American Wrestling, AAW, led by Kid Rock, who will be recording the promos, and then we will air them accordingly. And they will be the best promo always in sync, never phone in.
Mr. President, you're breaking up just a little bit. But, you know, somebody that didn't break up over the year was the best announcer of the year, nearly on a consensus basis. And yes, I'm speaking of none other than Bryan Danielson, who just started his commentary career this past year and has already kind of taken fans by surprise by how well he has stepped in and done with his commentary.
He's barely even been on the last few weeks. He's boring. He's terrible. He doesn't have a lucha mask like Excalibur. He doesn't have a British accent. He's terrible. He's a B plus announcer. Okay. And he's suffering from a concussion right now. He picked up the microphone and he got a concussion. He's terrible.
Of note, number two on this list was Walker Stewart, the play-by-play announcer for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So if
for some reason,
Walker Stewart is a great, great announcer. And I do wish more people could actually hear him call wrestling because he is great at what he does.
Like, and he's super young.
Ian Riccaboni did make the list as well. He finished in sixth. So it was Danielson, Walker Stewart, Excalibur at three, Nigel McGuinness at four, Michael Cole at five, Riccaboni at six, Wade Barrett at seven, Corey Graves at eight, Joe Tessitore at nine, and Tony Schiavone somehow at number 10.
Wow, that's one hell of a match. What is it? They only have 10 announcers? And what about
guys?
And what about the drama king, Matt Raywalt? Where was he?
Dude, Matt Raywalt is a better announcer than Tony Schiavone at this point in his career. No offense to Tony Schiavone.
Who's the other one with Matt Raywalt? On TNA.
I can see the guy's face right now, but I couldn't tell you his name.
He's better than Schiavone. Shit.
He's better than Schiavone, too.
Hold on. Let's find this. This is terrible that they give that hack, Tony Schiavone.
So while you're looking that up, Mr. President, what I'm going to do is let's take a look at the worst announcer. And that was one in almost
Tom
a
Hanifan.
Landslide.
Tom Hanifan.
Ah, yes. Yes. Tom Hanifan is very underrated, quite honestly. He was not on this list. He was not even part of the honorable mentions. So
Wait a minute. They put Pat McAfee as a bad announcer.
We're gonna talk about this right now.
Fuck?
So, Mr. President, take a look at this. The worst television announcer was Booker T. And perfect. Ah, yes. So just catching up on chat here. Bionic Scoop agrees with me that Walker is amazing and a good dude. That's awesome. And yes, as he had mentioned, Tom Hanifan. Thank you for the assist with that. Also, Booker T receiving nearly, dear God, man, four times as many votes as Pat McAfee for the worst announcer honor. Incidentally, number three was Michael Cole. Four was Vic Joseph. And
Wait a minute. How's Michael Cole the third worst and the fifth best?
Yep, exactly. Tony Schiavone was number five. Tony fucking Schiavone should have been up there, quite frankly, at number two. We've discussed it ad nauseum.
That Michael Cole is worth watching is with Pat McAfee. Otherwise, yeah. Michael Cole and Tony Schiavone are one and two of your worst announcers. They fuck up every surprise, every reveal, and anytime something goes bad in WWE. Remember when we had Naomi? You had Naomi and Sasha Banks. They weren't even on the show. They were enhancement talent, and they were the women's tag team champions, and they said, we're out. We're getting the fuck out of here. And he comes out there, and he goes, that was unprofessional. They use Michael Cole to take every turd sandwich and make it into a bigger turd sandwich. And this guy is your fifth best and third worst announcers. Jesus, this is sad.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee is the only reason that guy's anywhere near entertaining.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't get the Pat McAfee hate at all. Quite frankly, he makes the show fun when he's on it. But you know, it is what it is. Sam Roberts chimes in. Sam Roberts, the regular WWE contributor, chimes in and says, this is insane. Book is pure emotion, feelings, vibes. There's a list of NXT stars who came to the main roster with crowd response that had been guided by Booker T's NXT commentary. Wrestling equals feelings. That's Booker T.
You know what they need? Beth Phoenix was a better commentator on there.
I don't even remember Beth Phoenix, but if she said anything remotely close to shucky, shucky, ducky, quack, quack, fuck, whatever it is that the guy says, then yeah. Anyway, let's pivot here. The Beast Mortos wins the award for most underrated in a landslide, quite frankly. Thanks to my fans who voted for me. I hope this year brings even greater moments and opportunities. Rawr. Elsewhere on the list, Javon Evans receiving, like I said, Mortos crushed everybody in this balloting. Mortos, Evans, Commander, Brody King, and Ray Phoenix. Obviously, I'm posting this, so it's not just about what he says, but the exchange after. And Mortos's girl, Ultimo Monet, chimes in and says, "Count your days, Kyle." And Kyle Fletcher taking an ultimate stray from Mercedes and Beast Mortos just simply says,
The fuck? Exactly. First of all, a shout out to Beast Mortos for getting his passing the bar. He's now an honorary lawyer. And he gets to fuck Mercedes Monet. So this is the American dream. When you come in the country right, we give you your choice of female wrestlers and we let you practice law. Enough with this Mexican.
Okay. All right. And then elsewhere, we've got Jey Uso, who was named as the most overrated wrestler. The Yeet Man cometh. What do you think, Mr. President? Is Jey Uso the most overrated wrestler in wrestling today?
Jey Uso is one of the most terrible wrestlers ever. He's so bad at his job that he has to have his script written on his sunglasses so he knows what to say next. He can't cut a promo. He can barely do a super kick. He has to do a spear. It takes him and his brother to spear. He went to take him down. And all he has is he could do this. That's all he could do. He could wave his arms like he just don't care because he doesn't care about wrestling. We know that because look at him. Look at him. They gave him the belt as a DEI. He was a diversity champion. He was a diversity hire champion, beating a much more talented, much more capable, beautiful, tall, Aryan man named Gunther.
Oh, yes. And Jay does react to being voted the most overrated wrestler by putting out on his Instagram story, "Y'all really love me." So, Let's pivot here. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about some social media stuff. And, let's talk about Chris Bey, man. So this guy, he's had one hell of a story. And he just tweets out, "Birthday equals gratitude. God is good. 1 year ago today, I was taking my first steps unassisted and posting to the world about my injury. The support has been overwhelming, and I can't describe how I feel other than grateful. From that moment on, I walked independently, no matter the distance, one step at a time. Thank you all for walking with me. Time to jump into the next chapter. I love you all. Hashtag GSET." Yeah, man, it is. It's the greatest story ever told, bro.
Young athlete who was able to do an unassisted leap. By the way, we have word from Marcus Deitch that Drew McIntyre is overrated. Drew McIntyre is a heel's heel. He's a beautiful man. He's a tall man. He's a white man. And he was able to completely defeat everyone in the SmackDown locker room, completely unassisted, without any help from any fat dudes, no fat people. He beat Cody Rhodes. He beat Jacob Fatu. He beat Lupus. He is an incredible wrestler and a wonderful talent. And to him and his beautiful 18-year-old wife, we support you and your mission to make Scotland and America great again.
There you have it. There you have it. And just to put a button into the Chris Bey thing. Yeah, man, the greatest story ever told. We are witnessing it in real time. So, it's It's been very interesting, and we'll see what comes next. Since we're talking about social media stuff, let's just take a dump. All right, guys. So, elsewhere, Bianca Belair announced that she was going to undergo finger surgery on the 16th of February, which is today. So she underwent that surgery today. Hopefully all went well with her. Unfortunately, this means that she's probably not going to be in line for a match at Mania. Maybe she'll show up at Mania to do something. Who knows? But all the best.
Well, if her fingers are Bianca broken, Belair. What about Montel Ford's? What's his excuse?
They haven't been used up until very recently. And the photos are out there. So yeah. Yeah. Go check out the Street Profits showing up on the house show circuit. And hopefully Bianca can come back soon. Hopefully the Street Profits get back on TV because yeah, they're all three very skilled performers. Yeah, WWE, quite frankly, could use them right now. So, speaking of other people in WWE, at least, we've got the Grace family tree, obviously Jordan. This means that Jordan Grace and Ariana Grace's dad, AKA Santino, did the thing. Jordan Grace replies that he only used the Cobra. Don't worry.
You know what? I know that there's a certain octopus who would take have a problem with that. What happened to Grisham?
Oh, geez. Yeah, Jonathan Gresham. Yep, absolutely.
Where's Jonathan Gresham? He should be doing his job as a man and satisfying Jordan Grace, and maybe he could have an unsatisfying WWE SmackDown career.
Dude, I would love to see Jonathan Gresham in some capacity on, you know, a regular basis in a wrestling promotion. So however that can happen, yeah, let's make that happen. You mentioned it earlier, Mr. President. Oh, geez. Logan Paul's Pikachu Pokemon card sold for $16.492 million. Guinness World Records was there to certify it. What the fuck are we doing? What the fuck is this shit?
This is why our country is in decline, because we have people spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on a Japanese fucking Pokemon card. This country's gone down the shitter because of the lamestream left and Crooked Joe and Kamala Biden, who allow Pokemon to infiltrate the United States. We have to find these Japanese people who are poisoning our children with talking rats, root and stem. I am working on it right now with Christy Nome, Pam Bondi, and we might even bring Bonvino back into service to find these people poisoning the mind of our children with talking Japanese animals that they keep in their balls.
You know, Mr. President,
when I release animals from my balls on little children, I don't get paid $16 million for it.
All that I'm going to say, Mr. President, is after we're done with this show, I have to have a conversation with you about Pam Bondi. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on. Shout outs to WWE Hall of Famer Jax, who is...
Now, that's how you do a weave. She should talk to Nia Jax.
Absolutely. You know, she is one of the trainers now at the Performance Center. So shout outs to her. And Scoop chimes in and says, to be fair, there are only 12 or so ever made and only one a perfect 10 PSA grade. Still, though, bro, $16 million. $16 million fucking dollars for a Pokemon card. I mean, I'm all for capitalism. That's great. What the fuck? Like, shit's getting crazy. Shit is getting crazy.
It's like that Epstein place. You got to catch them all.
Oh, my God. Speaking of catching them all, released from prison today was Cain Velasquez, who, in case you are under a rock, discovered that some piece of monkey shit was molesting his son. So he immediately jumped into a vehicle and began to chase this piece of shit down in traffic, firing shots at this guy. And of course, justice never really shines on those who it should shine on, as Velasquez was put in prison for this and thankfully and rightly was released today. So, yeah. Absolutely. AEW's goal is for Will Ospreay to be back at Wembley Stadium. That feels fast, but all along they've talked about a summer return. So this being reported by The Observer. So who knows? Maybe we see Ospreay after his spinal fusion surgery. Yeah, at Wembley. We'll see. It's still...
Can you kip up after a spinal fusion?
Oh, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you can. And if you can, the aerial assassin will do it. I get Mr. President, you, I'm gonna actually just take this and we're gonna ISO you here. So, Mr. President, you have extraordinary hair. Extraordinary hair, especially tonight. So I have to get some input from you, Mr. President, on Wheeler Yuta's new haircut. What do you think?
He looks like, well, you got him up there with Hulk Hogan. He looks like Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt?
Look at that with the beard and the hair in the back. He's got a party in the back and a parking lot on the top. I think he looks like Bray Wyatt. He just needs a rocking chair and a hat.
All right. I would not have guessed Bray Wyatt, but it's great that there are two people on this show because I can get completely different opinions from looking at the exact same image. Speaking of looking at the exact same image and thinking two different things, yeah, it's this has been the WWE booking mentality as of late. You either get a clean finish or someone in a hoodie gets involved.
Which is exactly what happened tonight on Raw when our good friend with his Pokemon cards, Logan Paul, grabs the headset off Michael Cole to run his mouth and gets a stomp for his troubles. And if you look at the hands on the person delivering the stomp, it's different than the guy from the week before. So they're going through a cast of people, different guys, which either means a brand new faction or Seth freaking Rollins is a very lazy person.
There you go. There you go.
And I've been told that his people are lazy.
What do you mean his people?
Mr. Lopez, okay?
All right. So, elsewhere from the internet, you got to love this shit. You got Raheem making an appearance here in the social media dump segment. I think this might be a recurring thing. We'll find a different Raheem meme every single week. So, and then you got Brandi Rhodes back there. You got some, the No Limit tanks make them say,
Nah.
Hell yeah. And then this week at the Daytona 500, you saw Puka Nacua and Charlotte Flair. Evidently, they're a thing now. And they were hanging out at the race. Charlotte definitely has her type. And, maybe love is abound for Puka and Charlotte.
Well, she is a Flair, and she's on number 4 now. So she is trying to beat her dad's records.
Shout outs to honorary bad boy John. He had the distinct privilege of being an NXT VIP this past week. There you see him rocking a t-shirt from another podcast that's not nearly as good. Anyway, he's hanging out with Ethan Page and the former Mariah May, Blake Monroe, at an NXT event in Washington. So shout out to you, sir.
What is Ethan Page? You can see he doesn't want to be there. This guy's wondering, why can't I go back to being the karate man on TNA?
Dare I say, I think he's in a better place now than he's ever been.
He should be happy. He's got that little Canadian belt, you know. You should go back to the North. Go back to the North and doing your karate segments on TNA. You should be there smiling and thanking God that you at least get to be on the CW where 10 people watch you instead of two. Because exactly. When you were wrestling and doing your karate man bullshit, you were on the Pursuit Network. And then you went to AEW and nobody watched you.
Damn. Yeah. And now he's at least, I mean, they're pulling down decent ratings and the CW is in millions of households.
The only thing I want to pull down is Blake Monroe's panties.
All right. So, Mr. President, speaking of things that you should pull down, let's talk about a comedy show. Let's tell the fans where they can hang out with you and maybe
first
see you
of
perform.
All, I expect to see you there. You're being put on the spot. 1227 South Main Street, Las Vegas. This is the brand new Four Horsemen of Comedy show produced by myself and Mike Stiggs. It's called the Vintage Comedy Showcase at the Vintage Vegas Cocktail Lounge. Starring this week, we've got headlining Ralph Tutela from Boston. Ooh, Mike Stiggs, Stella hosting, and maybe she'll even take off some clothes. We don't know yet. We're looking into it. Jay Monet, Josh Giordano, and Jay Rivera. This is the greatest show. It's the funniest show. And it's no cover, okay? Like Stella, no cover.
Hello. Hell yeah, man.
Come see me.
What about Cameo, man? What about your social media? Where can people follow you and stay abreast with your happenings?
Abreast. I love that word. He said abreast. You can find me on social media, your Instagram, your TikToks, you don't stop on TikTok and Instagram at Vegas Trump Guy and on Facebook at BOCE Comedy. One word. And for cameos, BOCE Comedy for your cameos too.
Perfect. All right. And follow Mr. President on his social media. Go to the Vintage Vegas Comedy Showcase. And again, that is every Wednesday, 8 p.m. There's no cover, man. So expect to see you there. I will be making my presence there as well. I hope to see you there. And I do want to say, as we wrap up, I want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%. As we wrap up, I do just have to say one final thing, and not trying to end the show on a bad note, but I do want to just say that we are keeping the family of Asia Smith in our thoughts here at the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. Unfortunately, she lost her grandparents, her uncle, and her cousin in a tragic house fire. Our thoughts are definitely with WWE referee Asia Smith. There has been a GoFundMe that's been set up for all of the expenses associated with it. So please check that out and contribute if you can. But again, thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. You know, Mr. President, I think that it was a pretty solid show, right? Not too bad. Not terrible.
We made the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast Show great again.
We definitely did. But you know what?
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.